Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. When we left you off, we sort of teased that we were going to talk politics and the world today and some more semi-scary stuff. But, of course, there's entertainment value because Donald Trump is in Hamburg, Germany for the G20 and had a one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but had a sit-down meeting with Vladimir Putin today.
Well, hold on. Before we get into that, can we talk about the G20 for a minute?
Sure.
So the G20 summit is essentially where the 19 richest countries, including the European Union, that makes it 20, they get together and they talk about how rich they are, right? It's like, hey, we are the richest of the countries. We're all doing pretty good. Let's make sure we keep doing good. Anybody have any objections to us continuing to be the richest countries? Anyone want to let in anyone new? No?
Oh, no.
No. Okay. I just think it's kind of hilarious. Like, what comes of the G20 summit? Like, we have it every year. Do we know? I mean, can we point to any, you know, standing policy
You're making it sound like it's the Oscars for countries.
Is it not?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
The Oscars, it feels like the ESPYs for countries.
The ESPYs for countries.
For rich countries. Like, this is their red carpet. Ooh, look at what Melania's wearing.
See, that's why I say it's more like the Oscars. The Oscars.
Well, I mean, people, you know, they kind of do the red carpet thing with the ESPYs, but, you know, right. I don't know. I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, the truth is, I mean, I think the official reason for that.
Why?
We're having a beer mishap happening during Whiskey Congress. I honestly don't know what is intended to happen. I think if you ask...
I know what's intended to happen. What's intended to happen?
The leaders of the world are supposed to get together and form relationships and...
Well,
and,
it's about forming economic policy that benefits, you know, those countries, which they feel like if the top 20... If the top 19 countries are making money in the European Union, then it's you know, trickle-down economics, and it will help the rest of the world in the global economy. Now, you know, anti-globalization people, this drives them nuts.
The globalists. The globalists.
You know, Alex Jones and crew. And which is, brings us kind of to a broader point and brings us right up to what we're about to get into is, you know, this. It's surprising to me that Trump is actually there. Right, Bannon and even Trump and their whole administration is very anti-globalist, right? And this is the globalist, you know, of the globalistly things you can do. This is the most globalist thing you can do, is go to a summit with the, you know, richest countries and say, how do we make sure that we stay rich as a group?
And I think the spin from the Bannon types is you go there and you let them know it's America first.
Right.
And so you go there to flex your muscles and to let, you know. You know, do a thing with Poland where you speak to the congregation in front of a. Do you see this where the leader of Poland and Trump stood in front of a monument to the Poles driving out Muslim hordes years ago? And yeah. I mean, I'm sure that message was not a coincidence.
Wasn't a coincidence.
And
you know, Poland's going to be very receptive of the United States. The United States has a lot to do with Poland. You know, being freed from the Soviet Union. Poland's been invaded a number of times successfully, and has had to rely on the help of others and, you know, the rest of the world. So, you know, it makes sense that Poland would be receptive. You know, and Poland is one of the few countries that, you know, actually pays what they said that they were going to pay into their own defense and into NATO. That 2% GDP, which is where Trump gets, you know, caused all sorts of waves with his last trip to Europe, you know, where he called out all the NATO countries for not paying that 2% GDP, where, you know, Poland has consistently done that essentially from the beginning.
So, all right. So that's why you grandstand with Poland. The big thing about this to me is the G20 is going on and the sideshow of Trump and Putin sitting down for the quote-unquote first time, because Trump claimed once that they had spoken before, then he said they hadn't. all signs point to the fact that they had never actually met. Now they have. They have their sit-down meeting. Afterwards, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson comes out and says, the first thing President Trump did was confront Putin about hacking during the 2016 election. Putin claims he had nothing to do with it, which is shocking that he would deny Russian government involvement.
Dum, dum, dum.
Shocking. And then a little bit of a weird thing happened afterwards because the U.S. claims that Putin denied any Russian government involvement. Our State Department says that we did not accept that as fact. The Russian Minister of Foreign Affairs comes out and says that Trump accepted Putin's statement. So we had a he said within minutes of this meeting that happened behind closed doors with probably 8 total people in it.
You know, we just talked about this in our last episode where Trump says he said this to this leader, or he made this statement, or he claims this, and you know, it's constant. Now, I don't know what to believe. Is Trump the blowhard? Is Russia taking advantage of the fact that people know that, you know, Trump has made shit up before in the past, so now they're just trying to make him look, you know, knock him off balance? I don't know. But what I do know is that of the people that are in this scenario, I trust none of them in terms of what was said in that meeting. Right? I mean, I feel like we don't know shit what was said. And this isn't some spy game, strategic move. It's just, I just don't trust him.
All right. Well,
you know, without calling the president names or, you know, Vladimir Putin names, because he'll kill us both.
Here's something that I'm going to say that I don't necessarily mean this in literal terms, but if they did the diplomatic version of
who's on first?
Well, no. Of, you know what you're going to say to your people. I know what I'm going to say to mine. They're not going to trust either of us. That lack of trust might actually help our ability to get people in line. I mean, I'm not suggesting the dreaded collusion word is going on here, but it would not shock me if they got together and talked about vodka, caviar, and Russian women, and then came out of this saying, you know what you're going to say. I know what I'm going to say. Why bother doing it behind? Why bother actually saying anything? And maybe Donald said, "Hey, Vlad, can I have those P tapes?" No, you cannot have the P tapes. Damn it! Yes, I couldn't go help one more time bringing up the P tapes. But I mean, seriously, they might well have shut the door, laughed their asses off, drank vodka, ate caviar, and I don't know whether it's caviar and Hamburg. What's that?
Trump doesn't drink.
That's right. Well, you know what? He says he doesn't drink. Fine, I don't drink. There.
Okay, well,
what?
That's not even close to being true.
What do you mean? I don't drink.
Well, I'm looking at it.
No, you're not.
I am, though.
I'm denying it.
See, that's how this works, and it doesn't work that good.
I don't drink.
All right, there you go.
That was not whiskey I just drank. That was not Cleveland whiskey I just drank.
So
product placement.
We have a leader in place that hasn't been completely honest with us in terms of statements that he's made in private.
You mean in public?
Well,
statements he's made. Okay, or both.
Or both. Or yeah. Both. Right. Okay. I mean, he just flat out denied. Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. So we have Trump in place, and he's making. You know, he's saying that I went to Vlad, and I told him right away, like, hey, that's don't meddle in our elections. Vlad comes back and says, you didn't say anything about meddling in your elections. I don't know who to believe, and I don't know.
I think neither is a perfectly legitimate option.
And I don't know if there's any value in trying to analyze it.
You know, there's one thing, though, that I really want to talk about briefly, if necessary. But the Trump administration, and we've talked about this in previous shows, keeps trying to say, this is bad, let's blame Obama. And they did the same thing here. Trump came out and said, the Russians meddled with our elections, and Obama did nothing. Okay. In the next breath, we're hearing stories about how the Russians want to have the sanctions that Obama put in place lifted, and they want the guys that got kicked out to get reinstated, or their proxies to get reinstated, and they want the properties that potentially were being used for espionage and seized by the United States to be released back to them because they're technically Russian property.
By the way,
that's not nothing.
Why was Mike Flynn fired?
He wasn't fired. He resigned. Okay. Sorry.
Don't be fucking snippy. Just answer the question.
Yeah, alleged involvement with receiving payments from Russians.
That's not why he was fired.
Well, right.
What?
Oh, for lying. All right, sorry, for lying about...
About what?
Being involved with... corresponding with Russians.
What about?
Turkish...
No.
Okay, well, then just tell me, because I'm doing a shitty job at 20 questions right now.
It's one fucking question. The reason why he resigned is because he lied to Mike Pence about talking to Russia about the sanctions.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? I mean, yeah. Am I making that
no,
up?
No, 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 no. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Where were you going? Those other pieces played a role, too. The where he got the money from. I didn't know exactly what you were...
Clearly. All right. Okay. My point with that is...
Lead the witness better. I'm sorry. I dropped the ball on you.
I don't lead the witness. That's the point. The reason why I bring that up was, when was Mike Flynn fired? Resigned or whatever.
Was it 16 days into the administration?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Like, you know, in December. Right? I mean, so Obama had, you know, as soon as he could, I believe, he lays a pretty big hammer down on Russia. To the point where Russia says, we don't like these sanctions. We want them lifted. Right,
and we want our property back, we want our people back,
and we want this and we want that.
The reason I brought that up is I'm so objecting to all the media saying
Obama did nothing. Well, and I'm backing you up.
Okay,
I'm trying to help you. Just kind of fucking me in this.
I'm not helping. All right,
I'm trying to help you.
You're doing
help
great.
Me help you. Show me the money, Jim. I like the air dry.
Show me the money. What?
I like the air dry.
All right.
But my point is that, you know, it's just spin. It's a pivot. It's a deflection from the Trump administration because they talked the Russian meddling. They chalked that all down and said, oh, it wasn't real. It wasn't real. It didn't exist. And now they're at a point where, all right, well, I mean, obviously it happened. We can't deny it anymore. So just blame Obama. Our idiot base will just jump on and... completely ignore the fact that we've been denying it for the last four or five months or however long it's been. And if we just blame Obama, they hate everything about Obama, so they'll lap it up.
They'll parrot that incorrect statement and then, again, blame Obama. And so I just wanted to point out that that's bullshit because I'm not hearing, you know, CNN has said some things, but they should have people... calling out the double talk, right? You can't say Obama did nothing and then say, and Trump is talking about lifting the restrictions Obama put in place. And as far as the sanctions and restrictions, obviously they had enough of an effect that
Russia
Vlad's not happy.
Right. Russia wants them lifted.
And if Trump lifts these sanctions and the Trump supporters don't lose their fucking minds, which they won't. I know. I know I'm looking for accountability.
Because Obama put them in place.
Yep. I mean, that's what's so infuriating. And that's why we need to just be that much more blunt and direct about it. You can't say things that are blatantly not true and keep lapping them up, people. You need to use your fucking brains and...
Okay, don't berate the listeners.
No, I'm not berating. I'm encouraging our listeners. I don't think the people that I'm berating would listen to us for very long.
Maybe.
I would hope so. I'd love it if they did.
I feel we're engaging.
I do too. But, I mean, I talked about this the other day with my political conversation from a couple weeks ago. It's like, once what someone doesn't want to hear is being said... But Trump's making America great again. Okay, how? By restoring greatness.
Okay.
At this point, I have to punt. It's like you can't even have rational discussions with people who don't need reality to validate their arguments. It's brutal.
Here's a question.
Okay.
We're going to go a little bit off the rails here. I think we'll be able to bring
it back. I love being off the rails.
And it's not going to be a great trip off the rails, but you know, we've gotten the job numbers back. And jobs look good. Economy looks good, robust. I think
unemployment is a very low number.
Unemployment's very low. And now there's the whole thing, well, you know, Trump doesn't get all the credit for that because Obama and
right.
At the end of, you know, if it was the other way around, you know, a lot of people defended Obama on some things or blamed Obama on some things that could have been passed on to Bush, whatever. So I don't want to get into that argument. You look at who's in office now. You look at where the job numbers are. And some of it did turn around because of Trump, as a number of industries said, well, we have faith that he's going to help us out. So we're going to move forward this way. There's some of that happened.
I mean, some of them will remove regulations.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
Might not be a grand scheme good thing, but
we'll see. Okay. We'll see what happens, right? I mean, the thing is, you know, what I heard on the Patriot Channel was that I heard a commercial that, you know, Trump and his policies are going to cause for a, that are putting us directly in line for a recession. Protect yourself with. And I heard it on the Patriot Channel. It was definitely a pro.
Was it a buy gold thing, or was it
Yeah, something like it, some form of buy gold, go flip property, something along those lines. You know, back to the side rails. Economy's up. The numbers, like we said, the unemployment numbers look good.
Jobs added, only 220,000 jobs added in the last period. So, yeah, in the month.
Is that the only thing that Trump can point to in terms of a victory?
A couple things. One, the truth of the matter is that the president gets blamed for those numbers or credited with those numbers a lot. Or credited with those numbers a lot,
which is
more than they deserve. We know it just... He's the guy at the top, so
he's Peyton Manning.
He's Peyton Manning, right? If the quarterback wins or loses, he gets blamed on him. Good analogy. So, is that the only thing he can point to as a victory? I don't know if it's the only thing they can point to. It might be the only legitimate thing they can point to.
Well, and I'm talking about legitimate things.
Okay,
let's be objective.
All right.
Let's look at Trump overall. Let's look at the Trump administration. They've been in office now.
Roughly 6 months, right? Yeah, roughly 6 months.
Right. So, you know, 6 months. And what are we looking at in terms of accomplishments? And let's be objective. Let's be honest. Let's be objective. Let's see where we are as a country. What has our president of the United States done to this point? And how do we feel about it?
All right, I'm not feeling good about a lot of things, right? I don't like the withdrawal from the Paris Accord. I don't like this fumbling, bumbling, stumbling. We just need to get rid of Obamacare so we can say we did it because it was a campaign promise.
Okay, there's better ways to look at both those things. We can say us withdrawing from the Paris Accords, the jury is still out. Because on its face, it looks bad, right? On its face, it absolutely looks bad. It looks terrible. But what on the offhand, it's renegotiated. And as the United States, we're saying, okay, listen, we're going to follow these sets of rules, right? But China needs to follow some rules, okay? You know, some of your other, like Mexico, all these.
Let's not get in the weeds on that because I'll go for.
No, well, hold on. Like, we can go a little bit. I mean, because those are,
if this ends up having a positive resolution for the world and for us, yes, I would have to give Trump credit. And if this was a shake it up move.
But you're getting exasperated because I'm not forcing this out of you. All I'm saying is taking an objective view and looking at it and saying, okay, we didn't join the Paris Accords initially. We backed out of the Paris Accords. And if Trump can negotiate a better deal where we have some limitations on our gases that we're emitting, and you know, I'm not an expert on this, but we can bring a little bit more balance to it where everyone is playing with thing.
There's reasons why that's not practical. And that is because China and India have been using dirty fossil fuels much more aggressively than we have over the past 25 years, and to ask them to back out of those things immediately, like we're trying to get ourselves to do.
Well, we don't have to back out of them.
The reason that they get a different timeline is because of the impact of their industry that in turn affects us.
Well, but their timeline was kind of ridiculous, though.
Oh, okay.
Right, and I mean, and, right. some, and there was no there, like there was no penalty for them. For not using some...
There was no penalty for anyone, as far as I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. So, all right. But again, so maybe a better deal gets negotiated where there is okay. some sort of... There okay. is some sort of penalty if, for not falling if, in line. Because otherwise, what was the point of it?
If the short to middle term result...
But, I mean, we're pissed about it. But, I mean, this is like being pissed about, you know, steroids in baseball prior to, you know, 2002. Right, like I mean, it said don't use steroids, but there was no penalty for using steroids. Right, like I mean, so you can be as pissed as you want to be at Mark McGwire, but what the fuck was the penalty?
Right? Okay.
So let's renegotiate right. it so there's right. some right. teeth right. to it. All right. That's all I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay, maybe.
That's maybe. All I'm not. Saying.
Okay, but so then, but your so the, bigger point though, your bigger point
jury's
was
jury's still out there.
Fine. Your bigger point was how do we judge? Let's be you're saying let's be objective. How do we judge the Trump administration to this point? And how much do we give him credit for these jobs numbers, the Dow? I mean, the economy has kept chugging along. There's no denying that. That's a great thing. And I will totally own the objective point of view that 6 months into a president's administration, he should get blamed for what's going on and should get credit for what's going on. So something he's doing is keep – and again, too much credit, not enough credit, whatever. But something he's doing – is keeping the economy growing and unemployment going down or staying down.
But what is that, though? Because the point that I'm getting at is I know it's going to come across as if I'm trying to defend Trump, but what I'm really trying to do is figure out what they have accomplished. And I don't know if I can point to any one thing and say that is an accomplishment. Right? Now, in 6 months, I don't know what the expectation is. I know you could look at a Franklin an FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, at the number of things that he accomplished in his first 6 months, and you can that's a pretty high bar.
Yeah,
right.
And it was kind of a different. I mean, it's obviously different time.
You know, different time and, with different needs and requirements.
And I think a Congress that knew this country was flailing under FDR, so they couldn't fuck around and play these stupid games about, you know, let's just object to, let's just slam the brakes on everything the other side's doing. I mean, one thing that I was thinking about today was the Obamacare repeal and replace is going nowhere. So now they're saying let's just repeal. And I can't help but notice I've not heard a single proposed piece of legislation from a Democrat.
Well,
I mean, it seems like there's one bill out there, and everyone
Yeah, that's pretty easy to explain. Democrats don't have a single bit of control over anything.
They don't. But tell me what's wrong with this thinking. And I mean, if you, all right, I'm not an idiot. I know that. You can't get something through Congress as a Democrat right now without substantial support from Republicans. I understand that. But
you can't get anything if you're a Democrat through the House or through the House
or the Senate.
Or the Senate without sucking a dick. A large Republican GOP red veiny cowboy hat wearing, cowboy boot wearing, big buckle dick. You're not gonna get it. It's not going to happen.
All right,
even if you suck that dick, you're still not going
to
get it.
All right. I'm not prepared to say I will suck that dick. Let me... What? Oh, yeah. I'm the bad guy. It's my fault. Oh, you suck. You suck. All right. Anyway. But you understand my point?
Should I get you to say?
But the thing I'm trying to say is I know it won't go through, but it still, to me, is a sad state of affairs that they can't get someone to put something out there, put it in front of the American people. I'm a big single-payer guy. Why isn't Bernie Sanders or someone putting a bill out there and saying, here's what this, get it in front. I don't know what it takes to get something in front of the...
Let me stop you.
Try to stop me.
I can stop you. Listen, this is the one thing that the Democrats are doing that I actually agree with. That's a good move. let the Republicans do what they're doing. The Democrats don't need to propose anything. They don't need to oppose anything. Think about this. The Democrats don't even have to oppose the Senate health care bill. You know why?
Because enough Republicans
there's enough doing Republicans it. Yeah. that are doing it that, this, that the Democrats don't have to say anything. All they're doing is coming out and just like, this kind of sucks. I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to vote for it because it doesn't matter because everyone sees how it sucks. Watch. Look.
This, that, you know, that's good politics,
it's,
but it's bad public service, right?
It's not, though, because, listen, the Democrats could come up with the greatest plan in the world. It'll never get through. It'll never get through. There's nothing that they that there is not a thing that they could propose. They could literally propose something that would bring back Christ Almighty, and it wouldn't get through at this point in time.
I understand that.
So the smart move for them, and the prudent move, and the public service move is let the Republicans cannibalize each other. Let them cannibalize each other to the point where they say, listen, we need help. We need your help. And then
that's where it's headed, right? McConnell's even said he needs...
He does.
Okay.
And it's getting there. So you continue to let them... But they still... McConnell is saying it, but McConnell is under attack, right?
Yeah.
McConnell is under... Mitch McConnell and that perm, I'm pretty sure that's a perm, or maybe it's a natural curl. I don't know. I think it's a perm, though. His wife's Asian.
I really... Oh, okay. Why was that necessary? Why was that helpful in any way whatsoever? Is that true?
His wife is Asian.
I didn't know that. Okay.
She's the transportation secretary?
Of course. Like, I'd forgotten that. Because if there's one person I want to put in charge of driving, it's Mitch McConnell's wife. What were you thinking?
That was way worse than what I said.
Yes, it was. I didn't say it, though. I just said Mitch McConnell's wife. I understand she's a bad driver, but I don't know what you mean.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
There go the rails.
There they are. Hey, I just
anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about.
you threw me way, way off track. Good job.
Thank you.
look at you being fucking funny.
That's what I do, Steve.
No, it's not. So the move here, the prudent move, like Mitch McConnell is under attack. He needs help, but he's not quite down enough, right? Like someone's kicked him in the knee and they're circling around to kick him in the other knee. And once that other knee goes out, then that's when he reaches his hand out to Democrats and says, someone grab my hand, throw me a lifeline, I'll pull you into the inner circle. And the Democrats are very smart. Chuck Schumer has finally toned down the rhetoric a little bit. He's toned back. All of a sudden, Chuck Schumer is this big social justice warrior. Which he hasn't been for the last 20 fucking years, but he's even toned it down a little bit because he's letting the Republicans chew themselves up, spit themselves out to the point where the Democrats are going to be the ones to help kind of put everything back together again. Now, they'll fuck it up. They'll get
burned. I was going to say, you just said the Democrats are very smart. I object to that statement.
Well, they're smart
doing this intelligently.
This is a good move by them.
Okay, good move by them. I might disagree with you, but at least I want to make sure that you're not giving them credit for intelligent handling of things, because if they were, we wouldn't be in this situation. All right. One more thing I want to talk. We said we'd lighten it up a little bit, and there's one more thing that I want to talk about because it's really stupid, but funny to me, in a way. So
you're gonna have to explain this to me because I really don't understand it. You brought it up.
Oh, okay. Actually, two things. Sorry, I was gonna talk about the CNN meme.
Oh, okay. So start there. That, all right.
The CNN meme. Basically, some guy created a meme of Trump. In a World Wrestling Federation or WWE, whatever it was at the time, beating up someone whose face was superimposed with a CNN logo. So after his battle last week with MSNBC, this week he's beating up a CNN-headed person, and some dude made this meme up, and then Trump retweeted it. Do you have a problem with that? With the reach, so the person who makes the meme, whatever, people being stupid with Twitter. Do you have a problem with Trump retweeting it?
I don't. Now, I see why people are not thrilled with it, but listen. No, I don't. I really don't. I can't even. I don't. I, It didn't bother me. It didn't, you know, I didn't go, oh, the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and all the amendments is ruining everything. I didn't. I just, I mean, my biggest issue is that the President of the United States was legitimately a part of the WWE at one point in time. That's my problem.
All right. I share that problem with you.
Right. That's our problem, right?
That wasn't faked.
Right.
He actually did that.
Right.
So what, in the movie Idiocracy, the President of the United States is the former WWE champion. Trump is in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, if my one comedy buddy is telling me the truth, and frankly, I don't care enough to look it up and find it out.
No, it's true.
Okay. I didn't care, but, I mean, that is ridiculous. Our president, on his resume, would have all of his business stuff, whatever, President of the United States, and inductee to the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. That is embarrassing. On so many levels. And so the other thing that you wanted me to explain, so the Trump team had trouble finding a hotel in Hamburg for the G20. They literally did not have a place to stay on time. And what I heard was where they expected to stay was the Four Seasons in Hamburg was completely bought out by the Saudi royal family. So what they relied on was not available. Now, that was reported in multiple places. And what that really says to me is not anything other than really poor communication and management within the White House. The fact that, I mean, when you plan a vacation, the first thing you do is book a flight. The second thing you do is book a hotel. He didn't have to book the flight. That's there for him. But the fact that this was not worked out.
Badass plan, by the way.
It is good. It better be. But again, I don't want to make a huge deal out of it, but it does to me indicate a level of dysfunction that,
well,
is
you
really
say the
scary.
Word. It's not dysfunction. It's you have an entire administration of people. You know, he went out of his way to make sure he didn't have, you know, people with government experience, right? He wanted people with business minds, you know, how
right.
businesses work. But he didn't. He doesn't have enough people who know how government works, who know how the presidency
government logistics
right?
work.
Well,
apparently,
I mean, and that level, how that level of operation of government with the president, we don't have enough people in place who understand that you can't just say, "Well, yeah, I'm the U.S. president, so I get a hotel here," right? Well, no, because the Saudi prince just bought it out. Well. How much did he pay for it? More than you have, literally. He's got more money than you have. And the money he paid for this hotel is more money than you have, and he still has a lot more than you. So they don't understand those logistics. They don't understand the actual politics part of it. They think they think that if they get a bunch of people riled up in the Midwest and in the South flying their Confederate flags and getting on Breitbart, getting on Fox News, and firing off comments, well, they got made. You know, I mean, but then when you get to the actual logistics, the actual things that you have to do, it's a little bit more complicated than just saying Muslim,
build a wall,
guns, wall, you know, America, high five. It just takes more than that, and they're doing a poor job of managing the office.
You've made the comment a few times about you know, Putin and others, and I've made them too. I'm not putting this on you. We both said that, you know, Putin and other governments are seeing a chance to take advantage of someone who's easy to manipulate. When that person is apparently surrounded by people who can't get shit straight and can't get out from under the thumb of that person, that problem just gets exacerbated, right?
Yeah, I mean, very well stated. Very well stated. You know, you've got people who literally can't get out of their own way from Trump.
Or afraid to speak
Trump
up
down.
And say, you know, I mean, here's what we need to do. It's different than what you wanted. No one's saying that. And then it's an emperor has no clothes situation.
Right. I mean, and you have Trump who, you know, shoots himself in the foot on a regular basis on Twitter. You have an administration that walks on eggshells trying to, like you said, deal with the emperor with no clothes. And then you also have the fact that a lot of these people in his administration are obviously trying to make a name for themselves so that they can have their book deals and have their jobs on Fox News after it's all
be,
said
be the
done.
Best friend of the president so that he will promote them and prop them up.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it happening. I mean, we all know Kellyanne Conway is going to have her own show on Fox, you know, after she resigns after 4 years. We know that Sean Spicer, you know, is going to have a commercial for Levitra, once he recovers from his stroke in 3 months.
All right. You ready to wrap this up?
Wrap it up, B.
All right. I enjoyed it as always. Thank you, Cleveland Whiskey, for being part of the show. Thank you, Founders, for the beers you donated. More will be cold for our next episode. We are WhiskeyCongress.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher,
Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we also have a YouTube channel. And we're on social media at Whiskey Congress. At Whiskey Congress. Thanks a lot. And if you want to interview me, I'm Jim at Whiskey Congress. You can interview Steve at Whiskey Congress. All right. Thanks a lot. I'm done. You?
Yep.
We're out. Thanks.